It's been my experience in reading the Bible with people, doing hundreds, thousands of Bible studies at the likes of you all here in this room, that when we read the gospel and we read about Jesus, frequently we come with this tendency to see Jesus Christ as a superhero. You know, this image that he can leap tall buildings in a single bound, meaning anything at any moment he has the power to do and can make happen. We have this image that he has X-ray vision so that he can see and know absolutely everything that's happening at every moment into the future. I mean, we have the stained glass window image, Jesus sort of floating, and he's got sandals on and a beard. But if we're being honest, there's probably right behind him a little red cape with an S on it. Jesus Christ is sort of a Superman to us in the Gospels. Of course, the problem with this is that it's a heresy. It's an ancient church heresy. It's called Docetism. That may or may not be interesting to you, but the Docetists believed that Jesus Christ was completely God, and therefore it really made no sense how he could be completely human at the same time. They thought, well, he's fully God, and what he's doing is he's kind of acting out this human thing. He's sort of pretending, it's a show, he puts it on, but he's not really fully God. And I would suggest to you that most of us in modern Christianity are Docetists. That is, that when we think of Jesus Christ, we have this superhero vision that really is the full divinity of Jesus without the full humanity of it. I mean, we believe, you know, we say the creeds and we believe the fully human, fully God thing. But we're not exactly sure how that works out. No idea. How is it that one can be fully human and fully God at the same time? I mean, how can you know everything and then be truly human? I mean, isn't part of being human having to live with the limitations of knowledge and uncertainty about what's going to happen? How can you be one who is truly human and yet have the power to do anything at all times? Doesn't being human mean living within and through the bounds of finitude? It means not just being able to sort of superpower zap anything at any moment that you choose. I mean, we say something like Jesus is fully human and fully God, but what does that mean? How does that work? I think if we're being honest, what we really do is, nobody, Christians at least, don't want to say Jesus is anything less than God. And so what we do is we kind of leave off the human thing. You know, we'll prefer superpowers and we'll leave off the humanity of Jesus because we can't quite figure it out. And the problem with that is that we're cutting short our salvation. The problem is when we have, you know, Superman Jesus and we forget about this thing called the humanity of Jesus, what we do is we suffocate our prayer life. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to take a shot at answering the question of how the humanity and the divinity of Jesus work together. Now, this thing there's limits to what we can do. It's mystery at some point. But there is in the gospel some way that is very crucial that we sort of reclaim a robust vision of the humanity of Jesus. Now, you're all going to get sleepy, right? I'm praying that as you discover the fullness of Jesus Christ, because this is what I think happens when you know more of Jesus, your heart gets set on fire for him. Even in something as mysterious and beautiful and complicated as this full divinity and humanity of Jesus. We're going to spend some time, we're going to go to work on this morning. So, we're in Mark 33:34, the passage that you just heard. Jesus says to disciples, we're going to go up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man's going to be delivered over to the chief priests. He's going to be condemned, and they'll mock him, spit on him, flog him, kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again. Now, this passage brings up a big question about the foreknowledge of Jesus, because we are here before the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, and here he is very accurately predicting what's going to happen. I mean, this is the third time he has done it. This is the third time that he has very acutely, specifically told the disciples what is going to happen in Jerusalem. And it begs the question, how is it that Jesus knows such a thing? I mean, does he know it as the divine knows it in heaven? Does he know it with omnipotent certainty? And if he does, doesn't that mean that he really didn't have to undergo the full death on a cross? Doesn't it mean that if he knows this thing with absolute surety, that the cross is just a mere formality? Like, it's like an act in a play, sort of, okay, I kind of know what's going to happen. I know it with such certainty that it doesn't take a full facing of the reality of death. I would suggest to you that Jesus Christ knows that his death and his resurrection are coming not with omnipotent certainty in this moment. He does not know it as he once knew it in heaven. In his incarnation, there is something that happened. Listen to Philippians 2. He says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, by being born in the likeness of men, by being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." So what Jesus Christ does is, in taking on flesh, Philippians says, he empties himself. The word here in Greek is kenosis. And it means that he rendered void his divinity. That is, and let's be very clear on this. This is a very subtle point. He doesn't cease to be God. He doesn't give away his core identity as the Lord of the universe. But what he does is he wills not to use such attributes in the same manner and to the same degree in which he has it in heaven before his incarnation and in which he has it in heaven after his resurrection. What Jesus Christ is doing here is he's saying, look, I am going to, in order to be fully human and to fully experience life in the flesh as you and I experience it, I'm going to be willing to sort of pull back on my abilities. I'm going to give over the right to exercise these sort of divine attributes of omnipotence and omnipresence and foreknowledge and however you imagine my superhero powers. And I'm going to do it in such a way so that it does not overwhelm the humanity of what I'm about to do. Am I making you uncomfortable yet? It's because you're docetists, right? Let's keep going. So Philippians 2 says that Jesus Christ empties himself. He wills not to use his attributes. But it begs the question, how then does Jesus know that his death is coming? How then does Jesus do miracles? How does he preach so powerfully? And I think the answer is a beautiful one. And when you're reading the Gospels and you're seeing Jesus, what you're looking at is life in the Trinity. What you're looking at is the man who is living in such perfect communion with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit that the miracles, the preaching, the knowledge of what is going to happen is the result of life in the Trinity. So that when he does a miracle, what we're seeing is the Holy Spirit through the Father working. When we see him preaching, there's this divine word planted in him by God the Father, and it is the Spirit delivering it to him and powerfully working through. When we see his knowledge of his death and resurrection, what we're looking at here is something that has been told and given to him in the life of the Trinity. So that what Jesus Christ is doing in his life on earth, in his ministry before his death and resurrection, he is not a one-man wrecking show. He's not this lone wolf superhero. He is constantly and forever living in perfect communion with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And what results is this powerful ministry. And he's doing it, and this is unique. He's doing it by faith and obedience. He's not doing this, but just because he sort of has this superpower knowledge and will that doesn't really have to experience the true sense of faith and trust. He is doing it as the true man who is by faith perfectly trusting the Father in everything that he is doing. And so that he is doing the things that we would not do and we could not do. He is doing these things as the one who is fully human and fully God all at once. These are bold statements, right? This is big, because to say that Jesus Christ is willed not to just be this lone wolf superhero, but that as he takes on flesh, he's submitting himself to what it means to be truly human. He's submitting himself to obedience within the Trinity, and he lives that out by faith. You want evidence for this? Why does Jesus pray ever? I mean, if he's a superhero who's on a mission by himself, what's he doing? He doesn't need to do that. You think about the baptism of Jesus. Why does Jesus Christ get baptized? Well, there's a part of it undergoing what we're undergoing. But there's also this piece which he is being ordained and called into this ministry, and that he had to wait. He had to wait on the movement of the Trinity to call him into this thing and to be a part of it. This is why the dove descends upon him. The Spirit comes upon him and leads him into this ministry. And it is all because he's willed not to be this lone wolf superhero, but to live as one who is truly human, life in the Trinity by faith and obedience. The power that you're witnessing in the ministry of Jesus is given through the Spirit and is known by faith. Jesus Christ is here predicting his death and his resurrection, and he knows that like you know what's going to happen at the end of the world. He knows his death in the same manner that you know what's going to be at the end of the days. That is, it has been given to you. It has been told to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so in a sense, you know it, but there is a believing and trusting into it that must occur. It is the same with Jesus Christ. Now, why does this matter? Why are we kind of getting so precise about something? When we talk about how to tie our shoes like Christians for a little, why are we doing this? Because it has everything to do with your salvation. If Jesus is a superhero hanging on that cross, you and I are not saved. If Jesus Christ knows his life, death, and resurrection with this sort of omnipotent certainty and surety, then he has not truly undergone death. His death requires no obedience and no faith to the Father, and therefore it is not an offering that is worthy of your salvation. If Jesus has superhuman powers, he doesn't need to obey the Father as he goes to the cross. He wasn't really tempted. He didn't really have to face the fullness of death as we have to face it. That is with uncertainty and with fear and with trembling. And therefore, it's not true obedience to the Father. If he has not been the man for all men, then there really is no salvation for the likes of you and me. If he's not living and feeling and experiencing all that it is to be truly human, then your salvation is dead. Let me explain this. It's easier to see this in the story of the gospel than it is to explain it theoretically. Think of the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember in Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus Christ is facing the cross. And there he is, and he's praying to God the Father again. Why is he praying? And what he's praying is, Lord, take this cup from me. I don't want to do this. That's not the prayer of a superhero. Superhero who sort of is divine and beyond it all and isn't really experiencing it, doesn't sit there in the garden and pray that prayer. It goes on. He does it. Jesus Christ, so anxious, so nervous in Luke 22, it says, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus Christ is in such a state of agony and distress that physiologically his heart is beating uncontrollably. His blood pressure is shooting out the roof. He's popping corollaries. Blood is coming out of him like sweat. This is not what Superman does. It's like Bubba and I one time were on this plane and it got really bumpy at some point. And there was a part of me I thought, okay, something may happen here. The plane may be going down. And you know, all of a sudden, if you've ever been in one of those moments like your face gets hot in the back of your neck and you're sweating and your heart is beating. And I knew logically that the plane wasn't going down. I mean, I know physics. I know what planes do. It's not going down. But I couldn't convince myself in my humanity. It was something deep inside of me that was saying, you might die here. And my body responded. And this is what Jesus Christ is doing. I mean, yes, he knows it, but he's also fighting the fullness of what it means to be human. My friends, look at the depths that your God has undergone for you. Consider the reality of Jesus' fear and his anxiety. This is no game of shadows he's playing. This is not a pretend death that he's undergoing. He's not some divine God who's not feeling the full weight of what it means to be decimated. Here Jesus Christ hangs on the cross, and he is truly God, truly man, undertaking real death, and he's undertaking it for you because superheroes don't sweat blood. Jesus Christ did. This is the fullness of what it means to be obedient to death, even death on a cross. Goes on. This death of Jesus, it is no mere game of shadows, right? Mark 15, it says, in the ninth hour, Jesus Christ, here he is on the cross, with a loud voice cries out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And what is happening in this moment is that God the Father is turning his back on God the Son. And it is the fullness of God's wrath. It is hell. The absence of God is hell. And he is experiencing the fullness of it. And he's crying out against it in lament. God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned your back? He's not lying. This isn't a show. He's not going, well, I'll just say it so they can write it down and people will know what's going on. No, he's really experiencing this. It's a reality. In that moment, he's staring down death, and he's staring it down as a man who has the knowledge that's been given to him that he is going to die and be resurrected, but he still has that, like me on the plane, where the heart is beating. He's still feeling the experience that this really could be it. I know the Father told me, but I have to believe even when he's turned his back on me, and that is true obedience. It's not a shadow game there on the cross. Jesus Christ, he's got to be struggling through this moment where he's saying, maybe this is it. Maybe I really am going to die and this will be the end of it. And then he has to turn and he has to trust that even as God the Father turns his back, he is still worthy of one to be trusted. Jesus Christ does not have this full sense of death, then he has not really made an offering for you at the cross. His obedience wasn't real. If he's Superman and there's no humanity and he knows it with omniscient certainty, then he hasn't really had to have trust in the Father. He hasn't had to be really obedient. But Jesus Christ does. He stands there facing death, decimation, true condemnation, and he believes and trusts the Father all the way through it. He doesn't get off that cross. He believes the plan of the Father that has been given for him, and it is your salvation. There it is, Jesus Christ, with all of the limits of finitude. And he is believing the word that God has given to him, which is he will be crucified and he will be dead for 3 days, and on the third day, he will rise again. The full humanity of Jesus, it is absolutely necessary for your salvation. Secondly, and this one is one to enjoy and to dwell upon. If Jesus Christ is not fully human and fully God, then we have no true high priest. A high priest in the ancient temple, you may have heard of this. He's the one that could go between the Holy of Holies with God's presence, and he could go between the people. So he was clean enough to go in front of God, and he was not quite holy enough so that he could enter before the people and his holiness wouldn't incinerate everybody who was looking upon him like it would if God was there. The high priest is the in-between. He's the intermediary that goes between the two. And this is who Jesus Christ is in his full divinity, in his full humanity. He is the one that can go between God and man. And it says it like this in Hebrews 4. It says, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weakness, but we have one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. This high priest of ours is not an aloof God who knew nothing of what it is to be like us. Jesus Christ is this superhero, then we have no shot at relating to or being related to by God. But Jesus Christ, the true man, the true God, we have one who knows what it is like to be like us. Hebrews says, in every respect, he has been tempted. That means that Jesus Christ has undergone the fullness of human experience. There's nothing left undone. There's no place that Jesus Christ has been, there's no place that you have been that Jesus Christ himself has not gone. So you're experiencing failure. Jesus Christ knew what it was to lose. He hung there as a loser on that cross. You feel overwhelmed. Jesus Christ sweated blood that day in the garden. You feel cheated. You feel anxious. You feel forgotten. You think you're alone. You're so scared you can't tell anybody. You're so mad. It's so deep in your bones, it's just ever present. You're so sick that it hurts everything inside of you. You feel betrayed. You feel unloved. You feel overburdened. Your high priest doesn't just know those things. He has personally experienced them. The cross of Jesus Christ, he undergoes the full weight of what it means to be truly, he undergoes the full weight of forsakenness, of loss, of burden, of brokenness. And now he sits on the throne as your high priest. You don't have a God who is aloof, who's unable to sympathize in your pain. Look, Allah does not know what it is to be you. He won't stoop that low. It's beneath him. You know, capitalism, deism, Buddhism, they don't know what it is to live in your bones. They're ideas. They're not persons who have walked the earth and felt what it is to be truly human, but your God has. Your God has stepped into the fullness of what it means to be the one who is truly human, and therefore you draw near to the throne of grace with confidence. You should pray with joy, fervently, because you know that your God is not beyond your world and your life and your feelings. He is even now on the throne, continuing as the one who is fully human and fully God. He sits on the throne in the flesh. He is in his ascension still and will always be Jesus Christ, fully human, fully God. One day you're going to get to the throne and you're going to touch Jesus' nail holes just like Thomas did. He didn't resurrect as a ghost. He continues in his ministry as the one who is fully human and fully God. And therefore, on the throne of grace stands your great high priest who knows what it is to be you. Praise God. Let's pray.